Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 22. As I preach in your hearing, will the real Christians please stand up? Part 3, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 570, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 937, since January the 1st, 2016. I do not keep up with the numbers. I just read them. My oldest son, Daniel White the 4th, is the one who keeps up with these numbers. So if something is off, blame him. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 22. Everyone is standing. Jesus is speaking. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. This ought to rattle and shake some religious people, some church folks. Jesus said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your eternal and holy word. No man spake like you, as one said in the scriptures. And so, Lord, we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who are saved, and forgive us of our sins, save those who are lost. And, Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, and foolishness, from the souls, the spirits, the hearts, and minds of those who have these dark impulses. And we pray that you would protect us in spite of them. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels. Continue to expose the enemies of the cross and chase them away so that we can have peace and decency and order, and that everything can be done in that way for your glory, praise, and honor, for the salvation of those who are lost, for the revival of the saved. Please glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Again, we thank God for all of the people who gather around the world to hear this poor preacher preach live through 13 live streaming systems. And we thank God for all of those who listen on demand as well. And as you know, I do not try to get you to get more people to come. I don't beg you for hearts or likes or whatever, those things that float around on Periscope and so forth. I just preach the simple, plain word of God. And we thank God for the thousands who have come down through the years. Ladies and gentlemen, the closing lines of Robert Frost's famous poem, The Road Not Taken, are more well known than the first lines which I shared with you on yesterday. They go like this. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere, ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. In Mr. Frost's writer's mind, he saw two paths, one well trodden and another that was grassy and wanted wear. Very few had traveled down this latter path, and that was the one he chose to take. In our passage from the Word of God for today, Jesus Christ presents us with two paths as well. On yesterday, we looked closely at the wide, broad road with the beautiful wide gate, the path which many have traveled to destruction, to a devil's hell, to the lake of fire. Now let's focus on the path less traveled by. In Jesus' message that he left for us, what are the characteristics of this path? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The first thing, beloved, we notice about this road is that it has a straight gate. And that the road itself is actually a narrow way. The Greek word translated as straight comes from the meaning of an entrance being narrowed or obscured due to obstacles surrounding it. In other words, it is easy to miss the gate and get distracted by the things placed in front of and on either side of it. Have you ever been to someone's house? They invited you there, and they had a narrow gate. They had hedges on both sides, and you have never been there before, and so you find it hard to find the gate. That's what it's talking about. Satan throws obstacles and distractions before those who are seeking the straight gate. Because ultimately the devil wants to damn your soul to hell. He will distract people by getting them to believe that the right path actually consists of good works, doing good deeds, church attendance, walking down the aisle when the old-fashioned preacher says the doors of the church are open, not realizing that the doors of the church have always been open and always will be until the end of time. Good moral works, moral living, no drinking and no smoking, and giving gifts to charity. These things will not save anybody. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to do good works to be saved. You don't have to sing in the choir to be saved. You don't have to speak in an unknown tongue to be saved. You need to trust in Christ and follow Christ through the straight gate, and trust in Him alone, not your good works. For these things are good in their own way. It's good to go to church, but going to church will not save your soul from destruction. It's good to get baptized, but getting baptized will not save your soul from destruction. It's good to go down and help the folks in the panhandle of Florida, but helping people will not get you into heaven. You will end up in hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if you have never entered into the straight gate. Speaking in tongues and shouting and jumping around the church will not save you. And because, quite frankly, you'll do more jumping and shouting in hell if you are trusting in that. None of these things will save your soul. You must follow Christ. You must trust Christ as your Savior and go through the straight gate. By the way, there are some churches on the Broadway, and people are stopping those churches to ease their conscience, but they're still on the Broadway to destruction. One can do all of these wonderful things and still miss the straight gate, being bamboozled by the devil, deceived by the devil. You say, well, preacher, I was sincere. Well, unfortunately, you are sincerely wrong. Sincerity cannot save your soul. It's good to be sincere, but being sincere will not save your soul from destruction in hell. The straightness of the gate and the narrowness of the way lead to the fact that few, compared to the Broadway, actually find it. The narrowness of the way explains why so few are on it. The Greek word translated as narrow means compressed or contracted. In the words of my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., it is tight but right. According to the outline of biblical usage, the word means to press hard upon, as one would press grapes. In those days, people got juice from grapes that they would make wine with by dumping the grapes in a huge stone vat And then having several people, preferably women, jump in the vat and stomp on the grapes until the juice ran. Metaphorically, the word means to trouble, to afflict, or to distress. That is what it means to walk the narrow way, which is why few embark on it. People don't like the narrow way. They don't like the straight gate. They complain about it. It's too tight. We're all the people. Because you can sometimes go through the straight gate all by yourself and won't see anybody for miles. Yes, many Christians have had to go through the straight gate alone. Their family would not go with them. Their friends would not go with them. Their buddies, their Ace Boone Coons would not go with them. And they were shocked and amazed to find that there was nobody else on the road as far as they were concerned, as far as they could see. And many times, oftentimes, they had to walk alone. I had to share this with a young Christian a day or two ago. Not to allow the peer pressure, the wicked, evil peer pressure around them to make them turn away from Christ and not serve Christ with the right kind of heart, the right kind of spirit and attitude. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. And don't let mean and evil people influence you. And I told this person, in the Christian life, sometimes you have to walk alone. Amen, somebody. The narrow road is not wide and easy like the broad way. Yes, there are wonderful, joyous times on the narrow road, no doubt. But more often than not, you will experience affliction, trouble, tribulation once you enter the straight gate. It can be a stormy road and a stormy walk. In the words of one preacher who read back one Sunday morning or one Sunday evening, I believe it was, and read the story of Job and how trouble came right on the heels of the other trouble. Somebody came and reported some bad news. Somebody else came and reported some more bad news. And the other person hadn't even left good yet. And then somebody else came and reported some other bad news. And the old black preacher read back and said, he titled that message, "If It Ain't One Thing, It's Another." And that's how it is oftentimes in the Christian life. If you're going to be serious about it, if you're going to be serious about praying without ceasing, about witnessing for the Lord, about reading God's word and encouraging others to do so, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me, I guarantee you. The narrow road is a rough road. This is why you hear the old saints talking about climbing the rough side of the mountain. And I feel no ways tired. And so finally today, ladies and gentlemen, just as he did with the broad way, Jesus tells us what lies at the end of the narrow way. It's tight, but it's right. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And contrary to the prosperity gospel, It is so narrow and so tight on the narrow way that you oftentimes will not have much money like those on the Broadway. You may not have a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. You may not drive a Bentley. The narrow way is too narrow for a Bentley. It's too narrow for a Range Rover. It's too narrow for a Mercedes. It's too narrow. The road is too bumpy for the big fine vehicles. You barely have space for a VW. And that's why millions of Christians, oftentimes, they didn't take the vow of poverty. Poverty was shoved on them, if you will. And there's no room for the big fine house on Pork Chop Hill on the narrow way. A few are able to get away with it. But it's a rough road. There's no paved roads there. It's not a smooth road. It's rough. It's difficult. It's painful oftentimes. So what is at the end of the narrow road? Life. At the end of the broad fun road is destruction. A burning inferno called hell. And that ought to frighten you. I'm not trying to scare you. But that's what the Word of God says. But at the end of the narrow road of affliction and tribulation is life. This is not merely human life, but inner spiritual life, and then life everlasting with Christ and God after death. Amen, somebody. I read something today that I found very tragic and very sad. The grandson of a great man of God said that he almost committed suicide because of the guilt of the adultery he committed. And then immediately said, Christians who kill themselves will not go to hell. That is so sad. It's a sad commentary. Because nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament, does anybody say anything so stupid? Meaning that whether they go to heaven or hell or not, nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament, people even talk like that. What is my point? My point is Jesus Christ is all about life. We are all supposed to be believers in Christ. He talked about eternal life. He talked about the abundant life, everlasting life. And here we have preachers, because this person is a preacher, suggesting and saying to millions of people, it's okay to kill yourself, you're still going to heaven. Kill yourself dead, you're still going to heaven. It's okay for those of you who are so depressed and so defeated and so disgusted. Don't you get mad with me. I'm not being mean, but you check out the Old Testament, check out the New Testament, check out church history. You do not have people who are truly saved and born again talking about suicide. That's foreign to the scriptures and foreign to church history. And we're hearing too much of this. And we wonder why people are not getting saved. Preachers are committing suicide and then saying it's okay. when Jesus is saying here, if you're on the straight and narrow, you're going towards life. And while you're on the straight and narrow, you will begin to have life abundantly, and you will have eternal life at the end. Amen, somebody. Jesus is not talking about death. Now we have preachers condoning suicide. This is insane. It's unheard of in the scriptures, and it is unheard of in church history. And if I told you the man's name and who his grandfather was, you would be shocked. But out of respect for his grandfather, I am not going to tell you his name. Be that as it may, Dr. John MacArthur said, God's way, the way that is narrow, leads to eternal life, to everlasting heavenly fellowship with God and his Son Jesus Christ, his angels, and his people. Everlasting life is not just living forever. It is a quality of life, the life of God in the soul of man, even while on this earth. Yea, life more abundantly, amen, somebody. Not death, not suicide. This preacher talked about he felt like committing suicide because of his guilt. There was somebody in the Bible who did commit suicide because of his guilt. His name is Judas. Are you a Judas? Or are you saved? Are you born again? Are you a traitor of Jesus Christ? Are you into stabbing Jesus in the back? I believe that if you commit suicide, I'm not talking about people who are mentally ill and demon-possessed or whatever the case might be, because of some generational curse or whatever. I'm talking about preachers who are in their right mind. And I believe that committing suicide before the world and saying is all right is stabbing Jesus in the back. It is a Judas move. And it comes straight from the devil and hell. We are supposed to be talking about, as preachers of the gospel, life, eternal life, and life more abundantly. We have good news, not death news, not bad news. We're not here. God didn't put us here to tell people it's okay for you to commit suicide. You'll go to heaven anyway. I doubt it, by the way. Because your last act is killing yourself. Murdering yourself. Can you imagine going up to heaven? You just killed yourself. In my mind's eye, I can see the Lord saying, well, I was not expecting you this early. I had another date in mind for you. What are you doing here? You see, ladies and gentlemen, those who are on the broad road are already dead. And some of you people, even some of you Christian people, you love such shows, which I have never seen in my life, and I dare not even look at it. And shame on you for looking at the living dead. You ought to look at that. But you know why you look at it? Because you're the living dead yourself. And there are millions walking around on the face of the earth as the living dead. And some are in our churches. Some are in our families. But they're the living dead. All people who are lost, we know, are the living dead. Those who are on the Broadway are the living dead. They don't know it yet, but they are simply animated corpses. They may appear full of vitality while they jam and boogie on the dance floor, and boy, they got it going on and drinking some Hennessy and, man, you know, getting with somebody, and they look full of life, but they're dead. I was doing some work on the internet and looking at a news story, and then I saw somebody dancing. I didn't think the person even knew how to dance. I saw the person break it on down to the floor. Bam! I said, whoa! Full of life and on their way to hell. Jam, jam, boogie, boogie. Let the good times roll. They look like they got it going on. But they're the living dead on the broad road to destruction. They may appear full of vitality, but absent from their souls is the life of God. Without the radical transformation that comes only through Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, they will meet destruction and perish forever. But those who choose the straight and narrow way, my God, thank you. The way that often seems full of affliction, full of trouble, and sometimes the trouble comes double, and every now and then we got to say with the black preacher, the old black preacher, if it ain't one thing, it's another. They already have the life of God deep inside. They just, oftentimes, they're quiet. They're going through hell. They're being tempted on the left and on the right every day. I'm talking about real Christians. Will the real Christians please stand up? It's not pretty. Now, we got some Christians who like to lie and try to make it seem like everything is pretty and wonderful. Their marriage is just wonderful until we find out they have separated and they living apart. Their children are just angelic, and until we find out they are devils at the schoolhouse. They look rich, but they are trapped in debt. See, in America, you can look rich and be poor. And if you're in debt and you're living on credit, you are poor. You're below poor. You're worse than the poor. Because you owe, so as all the work you go. You can't miss a day to save your life. Because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, but the Joneses are listening to Dave Ramsey. And they're truly rich. Their house is paid off. Their two cars are paid off. And they have money saved for their children. And if you miss a week of work, everything is going to come tumbling down on you. So, ladies and gentlemen, those who choose the narrow way, yes, the way that often seems full of affliction and trouble, already have the life of God deep inside their hearts, their minds, and their souls, and they are guaranteed eternal life with the Lord in heaven. The choice is clear. Enter ye in at the straight gate today. Today is the day of salvation for you. You're not here by mistake or by accident. God wanted you to hear this message. Coralina Sandahl Berg said, "Straight is the gate to all that come, and narrow is the way which leads unto the heavenly home, where yet is room for thee." In heaven, where God his own shall take, there's also room for thee. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, the gates shall opened be. Where thousands stand arrayed in white, whom God his own declared, there yet is room and life and light by grace for thee prepared. In Jesus' heart there's room, I know, and in his heaven of bliss. he in his gospel tells me so. Thanks be to God for this. Now God be praised that even I may in that city dwell, where peace shall reign eternally, and all with me be well. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those who have missed the straight gate, who have been blinded by the shiny things, and have gone down to the wide gate and to the broad way. But they feel you calling them. They sense that you're calling them to go back and to find the straight gate and the narrow way. Lord, we pray for those souls today that you're calling, that you're moving upon their hearts. You have set conviction upon them, and they might be a little bit confused, but you are drawing them to the light. Lord, have your Holy Spirit not give them rest until they trust you as Savior and go through the straight gate and enter on the narrow way. Save their lost souls even today. By the power of your grace, by the power of your gospel, by the power of your holy word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, as you saved me and millions of others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and from the punishment of sin, and that is hell, destruction. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins, and that's a fact. If you live long enough, you will die. There are funeral homes all around and graveyards. They lived once and they died. But not only will our bodies die because of sin, if we have never trusted Christ as Savior, our soul will spend eternity in hell. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, preached more about hell than any preacher in the Bible. He preached more about hell than he did about heaven. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them," Jesus said, "and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a terrible place. Sadly, many preachers don't preach on hell anymore. They would rather tickle your ears and not tell you the truth. But believe the words of Jesus Christ. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who loves you for real. Hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news. Destruction is bad news. But I have good news for you. The same Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. All you have to do is believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask him to save your soul. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from destruction. Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from destruction. Saved from a purposeless life. Saved from hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are. As I said earlier, you do not have to join a church to be saved. You do not have to be in church to get saved. You do not have to get baptized to get saved. All of those things are good, but they will not save your soul. Just put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer, as someone led me some 40 years ago. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong in your sight. I have broken your laws. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen before. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things that don't belong to me. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored my parents and many other sins. I am guilty before you, and I understand that I deserve eternal destruction in hell. But for Jesus Christ's sake, your holy Son, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your holy Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my evil ways and follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com or stay where you are on Gospel Light House of Prayer, wherever you are, and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.